The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors, and we're pleased to welcome our guest today, Harry T. Hornick, who's the manager of the Striped Bass Program for Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fishing and Boating Services. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, Al. How are you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Pretty good so far.
Good.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Glad to hear it. What is the APAIS program?
Program is something new it's in the second year.
Okay.
It's part of like the Marine Recreational Information Program. It's part of like a federal survey to basically do an angler survey for recreational fishermen, getting information on from fishermen on their return. They were looking at catch rates for striped bass and basically all other recreational species in Maryland tidal waters. And it's something new that the department, you'll see folks out there. It's important to the department and to the coastwide fisheries regulation system. And like I said, we're out there. You've got folks out there right now, that will be collecting information on the trophy season.
Right.
So if you see them, hopefully people will be able to cooperate, help with them. Because collecting this information is important for Maryland's management strategy.
Sure. It's just like the man wanting to check up on everything we do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the government.
That's us.
That's us.
I'm from the government. I'm here to help you.
Right now, I got to put in a plug for the Striped Bass Program staff that are, out there as we speak now on the spawning grounds, the Upper Bay and the Potomac River.
Right.
And, they're out there collecting information on these trophy season fish.
Sure.
And everything else that they encounter.
Of course. And then you got folks at the
police folks that are out there, 24/7.
Sure.
Again, trying to, help and assist fishermen and also, help with the management of striped bass and other recreational fish. So, like I said, those folks are out there, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
They are.
Just trying to do their job.
They are. That's exactly right. Yes, indeed. And we have a lot of support for the NRP, and in particular some of the programs that they're involved with. The coalition has been tried to be very helpful with to the NRP this year. So,
good.
We're working on it.
Everybody worked together. That's what has brought striped bass back from what it was years ago. As a cooperation of, there's been a ton of people in the department that have worked on striped bass.
Absolutely.
Years, and are still involved in it. And again, all the groups like and people like yourself, that spread the word, that get information out there, and the various fishing organizations. Everybody has worked together, and it has paid off. Definitely paid off.
Yep, indeed. Indeed. So now we have this trophy fishery, and there'll be, hundreds, maybe thousands of fish caught today, or at least the first week anyway. And, it's a great recreational opportunity for the folks. It's the highlight of some people's season, and some people, they live for that, just like people live for the first day of deer season and turkey season and everything else that's out there. So, it all goes together for you guys that do the management of the resources do just a spectacular job. I can't say enough about the biologists and the boots on the ground. So anyway,
we try.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, we heard exactly 2 weeks ago, we heard that the striped bass were spawning in the chop tank and other places. And we've had various callers here talking about the catch and release fishery on the flats or up that way. Yep. And so, are we in the peak of the spawn? Is it over? Has it started? Is it trickle effect? Tell us about that.
Well, there's In a usual season, there's 2 to 3 spawning peaks for striped bass throughout the Chesapeake Bay area. And we really have just been in the middle of the first one. You know, as our biologists are monitoring it, was really just this week. I mean, the key thing here, I mean, everybody's, you know, they see the temperatures, the nice spring days, but it's the water temperature itself that is critical, or like the major factor in timing of striped bass spawning and timing of them, you know, of them leaving the bay. I mean, the spawning time is the most, you know, the most.
Yeah, I mean, the movement starts with the photo period. I've learned that from Uncle Dale down there in Easton. That photo period is what.
One of those folks, Dale, yeah. Harley, Nick.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just throwing out first names here. Rudy, that, you know, have all been involved with striped bass and still, you know, still are.
Sure.
To some degree.
So, sure. Sure.
Like I said, a lot of information, but you know, in the Upper Bay, I mean, we really just. You know, the water temperature is 53, 54 degrees as of just yesterday morning, and, you know, that's still below, like, the peak spawn temperatures for striped bass. You know, like, you know, the most spawning goes on between 57 and 66 degrees in, you know, water temperature. And we just saw our first, post-spawn female, I think it was yesterday, you know, that the folks said, hey, we're seeing some spawning, but not a great amount of spawning. I mean, it's not the major pulse. I know people were worried that striped, you know, I've had someone say, oh, you know, the striped bass are going to be gone by the time we get out there. And it's like, no, there's still plenty of striped bass on the spawning grounds that haven't even spawned, and they, you know, they won't be leaving until they do. I mean, that's kind of what they do. So, we've seen a kind of a peak, but it's not been a real strong one. And, you know, again, the water temperature is still a little bit in the Upper Bay, is a little bit below what, you know, their optimum range that they, you know, where they really will take off. And that's, you know, since the Choptank River is a little bit further south, I mean, the Choptank and the Potomac usually are a little bit of ahead of, you know, what goes on in the Upper Bay, which is what, you know, with people, you know, people fishing, you know, coming out of Kent Island and Annapolis, that's the fish you're going to get is the Upper Bay fish. So,
yep. Got that. Okay, yeah, so we're not quite there yet. Not there. Quite there yet. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, so it looks like the first couple of weeks are going to be probably pretty good.
Well, I hate to forecast, but there's no reason why they wouldn't unless we had some kind of crazy weather that, you know, we've had. I know a few years ago, the first weekend, it blew like crazy, and it knocked a lot of people off the water, and everybody complained that, oh, we didn't catch any fish, or the harvest is way down, and it's like, well, a lot of recreational guys weren't able to get out.
Right, sure. Yeah, blew like a cyclone out there.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah. That's just sure. You know, that's just the luck or poor luck of the draw when you're dealing with Mother Nature. And you know, I think there were plenty of fish out there at that time. But
sure.
The charter boats did okay.
Sure.
And they're you know, different breed of captain in most cases, and larger boats, and
they can yeah. bite through the waves and get you to the fish. And those guys know. I mean, they all talk. They all know where the fish are moving and that type of thing. So here's a question that just came in online from Captain Don. Wants to know if C&D canal is used by the big stripers.
It is used to a degree. I mean, there certainly are fish that they're migratory. They can swim great distances, and
sure.
that. You know, how much they do it. I mean, we used to sample up there, and we basically backed off. I mean, for a couple of reasons. I mean, this goes back into the 80s. You know, they backed off because there were fish up there. There were fish going back and forth, but it wasn't like that was a major trailway for them, you know, back and forth. I mean, there certainly are fish up through there.
Sure.
You know, the majority of the fish come up and down through the bay, you know,
yeah.
through the mouth of the bay, the Upper Bay fish. But, you know, again, it's, those fish can, you know, but we have.
Now, I didn't mean to interrupt, but does Delaware Bay have a spawn like we have?
They do up there, you know, up the Delaware River.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure. You know, the timing is going to be a little, you know, a little bit later than Maryland, again, because of the latitude, or, you know, the further north it is.
Sure.
It's like New York is going to be a little bit later. You know, they all have their, you know, a little bit, you know, later spawning, again, because of temperature, you know, and just in weather and the, you know, again, the higher, you know, the higher you go, the more north you go. I keep saying high, but,
yeah.
You know, the further north you go, the little bit later it is. But, you know, back to striped bass in being migratory, I mean, we have, you know, we've tagged fish in the bay during the spawning season, and they're caught up off of, you know, the coast of Canada, up in Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, you know, sometimes, you know, over 1,000 miles away that, sure. That they have swam in the course of a season.
Sure.
And they can really cover a lot of ground for, you know, for a fish.
Well, no question. I mean, I had a sister-in-law in Danville, Virginia, and they often talked about the river there. I think that's they call it the River District down there, where the big stripers come right up into town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, there's
kind
all
of a neat idea, you know, kind of a neat thing.
Yeah, exactly yeah. Right. So I mean, they are wide ranging species. There's no question about that. Hey, tell me, this is just off the top of the head here. The tagging surveys on striped bass. Have you done any radio tracking of particular fish that are tagged here in the bay and then go to the ocean and go north and then go back south? I mean, give us a kind of a tour of what a striped bass does in its spawning journey.
Well, there are most of the tags that the department uses are just the simple, you know, the
yeah.
pinkish floy tags, which, you know, those are the ones that
wherever they're recovered, they're recovered with,
from, you know,
yeah.
1,000 miles away, 20 years later. It's been a very important program, and a lot of the other states, you know, most of the coastal states, not most, all the coastal states that have groups like us, you know, also have, you know, or, you know, help with the tagging.
Right.
You know, but what we know, and it's, you know, through years of experience, you know, the fish, you know, the larger fish, I mean, they're migratory by nature. They come into the bay this time of year. The you know, the big mamas, the
yep.
males, you know.
Where do they start?
Fish, they come into spawn.
Where do they start?
Usually here sometime in March, they kind of, you know, stage. They get, you know, ready to spawn in their, you know, whatever their rivers. You know, we believe that they, you know, they come to the rivers that they were born in, you know, kind of like the salmon.
Okay.
You know, they come to their you know, their natal rivers. They'll spawn. Eggs hatch within like a day or two, sometimes 3 days.
Right.
The, you know, the fish, you know, the larvae at that time, I mean, they grow, you know, kind of fast. They basically start feeding. I mean, these things are like 3, 4, 5 millimeters when, you know, when they hatch.
Right.
You know, they're pretty small. And usually they hatch by about 5 millimeters. Well, they hatch before that, but they start feeding at 5 millimeters.
Okay.
And then it's a race against mortality. I mean, there's where our year classes are set, is that this, you know, this egg staged, the larval stage, and then,
right.
you know, when they transform, you know, to a juvenile, where they're, you know, they look like a
fish, right? Yeah.
It's a critical period, and once they get through that, that's when we encounter them in our juvenile survey.
Right.
You know, later on in the summer.
Right.
And these fish, you know, they start to move. They go into the deeper waters, and they'll basically stay in the bay 4, 5, 6 years, depending on their sex and just you know, the luck of the draw. They stay in the bay. Even 7, 8 later than that, years before they become migratory. And what it is they, like I said, they stay. They we call them pre-migratory. They live in the bay. Those are the fish that our recreational fishermen in October are catching. You know, September are catching. You know, they're anywhere from, you know, 4, 5, 6. You know, up to 8 years old. I mean, we've seen fish that are 12 and 13 years old and in the bay in the fall, and we assume that's just, you know, the last ones of that, you know, of a particular year class that they're just still hanging out in the bay
and starting to, that, yeah, they haven't started to migrate yet. Okay.
And then what happens is when the next spawning, you know, the next spring season comes around, more of those fish disappear with the migratory, you know, with their older brothers and sisters.
Okay.
And you have this constant, like, kind of cycling of fish that, you know, big fish come in, they get on the spawning grounds of some of the younger fish that are living in the bay. And then a portion of them leave, and every year the older, you know, the fish that have been living in the bay, they leave with the, you know, with the older fish. They become migratory.
And, okay.
You know, go on. You know, they leave the bay. They head up north. You know, they kind of oversummer off of Massachusetts. You know, that's when those folks are, you know, the
sure.
fish fisheries up there occurring on the, you know, New England area.
Yep.
And then as it gets later in the fall, then they start heading south. And between, you know, December, sometimes we see some of these big fish. They come into, you know, the mouth of the bay,
right.
Up as far as like Potomac, and basically they're headed north. And again, for whatever reason, they come into the bay,
right.
And that's when, you know, we know that these folks have this this late season, you know, November, December, you know, they're getting these 30, 40-inch fish in the bay.
Right.
And they're like, hey, these are ocean fish. They're not, you know, they're not living here. But
right.
But it gives, you know, fishermen a chance to, you know, another chance at these
big fish.
These fish, these large fish.
Okay.
And then they overwinter off of North Carolina, Virginia area. We have surveys that go out, you know, on the ocean and sample them, you know, put tags in them also, the floor tags, and just do, you know, just do the the regular fisheries monitoring. And then they start the whole cycle over again.
That's a lot of swimming, man.
I mean, it's complicated. I hate to...
That's all right. No, you simplified it pretty easily. That was good. So.
The more we know about them, the more we find out we don't know. And
like anything else in nature, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hang on, Harry. Got to take a break.
Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, if you like gardening, I like to recommend Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. The greenhouses at Papa John's are bursting with, I mean, just absolutely filled with beautiful plants and flowers, annuals by the pack or flat perennials by the pot, bedding plants, planters, hanging baskets, colorful pansies, impatiens, petunias, and much more. They even carry the proven winter specialty plants. Now, Papa John's Farm has all the vegetables ready to plant in your garden, tasty tomatoes and squash and onions and watermelon, cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers, and herbs, too. Visit Papa John's Farm. It's located just off I-97 at exit 12. That's 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You drive right to the greenhouse. You make your selections. You put them on your cart. Pick them off the wagons. You'll see when you get there. 410-969-5909 is the phone number. Think about flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your garden, for your church, and don't forget Mother's Day is coming soon. Why not stop by today and get a couple nice plants for Easter tomorrow? Sunday, May 14th is Mother's Day. Call 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schillinger, Papa John's Farm. It will grow on you. And don't forget about our buddies at Clyde Sports Shop. If you're going trolling for striped bass, you need a trolling rod and reel, you need hooks and tackle and trolling lures, they've got everything. If you're not going for striped bass, you're going for any other fish, they've got all the bait frozen and live that you might need, want, or imagine for anything from the freshwater trout to panfish, perch, catfish, you name it, and all the crabbing supplies. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit 9. Website is Clyde's Sports, two S's in the middle, .com. Phone number 410-242-6108. Fishing hotline 247-3474. Gun owners, nearby the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore has a full service facility and gun ranges that offer all you need to enjoy your firearms and to become a better shooter. The AGC on Marriottsville Road has a 50-yard handgun range, 100 and 200-yard multi-purpose ranges, a trap range, and much more. It's where I shoot. No matter what you shoot, from rimfire to muzzleloader to hunting rifles and modern sporting rifles, the AGC offers it all. Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members, mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit AssociatedGunClubs.org. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Dragging the line. That's what the guys are doing out there today, Harry. Dragging the line, aren't they?
Yep.
That's for sure.
They're having, you know, going to have good weather today, so that should help with their success.
That's for sure. The planer boards will be rocking and rolling. The 15 lines out there. But, no, we're restricted now, aren't we? Let's talk to Joe in Abington. He has a question for you, Harry. Hold on.
Okay.
Hey, Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
What's your question?
I have a question in regards to the harvesting of the menhaden down at the mouth of the bay. You know, that big omega protein company down there, they're saying that, you know, spools menhaden by the tons. And I was wondering, what was the correlation between that over harvesting of the menhaden and how it affects the movement of our stripers? We live up in Harbor County, fish the flats quite a bit. And, you know, sometimes you just don't see that much bait up there anymore. And because of that, we're not really seeing that much on the rockfish during the summer. What's his thoughts?
Well, I know that's a, you know, kind of contentious issue, the whole menhaden issue. But I know that, like, on the Potomac River, they're seeing menhaden up, you know, far north, which normally we wouldn't see, it, except for this kind of year. It's a little bit drier. But, I mean, we're seeing menhaden up the Potomac River. We're seeing some menhaden up the bay. With striped bass, you know, they do eat menhaden. They do like menhaden. They love eels, but they also eat basically everything else. I mean, you know, striped bass are super opportunistic. You know, they will eat basically anything that you know presents itself that can fit down their mouth. They, you know, they'll eat that. You know, so and that's a good thing for striped bass. I mean, you know, we do, you know, people, you know, believe that you know the menhaden, you know, it's a discussion or you know wide. Here, like, you know, how much menhaden or striped bass are dependent on menhaden. You know, there's a lot of species dependent on menhaden. But again, you know, ASMC, you know, they're looking at it on a coastal basis. You know, they're involved, you know, over top of all the states. And, you know, they're working towards, you know, more efficient management. You know, they believe there's not a problem with you know, the mega protein. You know, they're trying to sort out, you know, what's the right combination, you know, what's the right harvest amount where, you know, everybody's happy. And again, that's something that, you know, the management people are, you know, on the state levels are trying to work out.
Harry, and
the day-to-day striped bass fishing, you know, there's quite a few striped bass on the upper bay right now. I mean, they're there. Our other surveys are seeing them up there, along with, you know, menhaden, some other, you know, American shad, yellow, you know, white perch, and blue catfish up, you know, in the upper bay.
Yeah.
So the white perch are up there already?
Well, they're encountering them. I mean, they, you know, they spawn a little different times. I mean, I'm just saying, like, when we do our surveys, like this particular spawning stock survey, we sample everything that comes into, you know, into the nets that we're using. And that includes, you know, that includes white perch and, like I said, you know, blue catfish now, which is, you know, I'm wondering how that's going to go. You know, we've seen the, you know, blue cats explode on the Potomac, you know, in our, and we've monitored them in our striped bass, you know, spawning stock survey.
And you got, now you got the flatheads on the Susquehanna region up there as well.
Right,
so, you
right.
know,
we
another.
We don't see them as much because we're, you know, we're further south than that.
Sure.
Where we do the striped bass monitoring.
Yeah.
You know, we are seeing a lot of other, you know, a lot of other species that, you know, are in the, you know, in that region, upper bay region.
Let me ask you this, Harry and Joe, hasn't there been some type of reduction on that omega harvest down there? I mean, hasn't that the heyday kind of passed on that?
Yes, there has. I mean, and that's, you know, thanks for bringing that up, because it is very different than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. I mean, some people don't thank them, but, you know, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, you know, they're involved in, you know, the coastwide managed striped bass, menhaden, you know, a number of species. And then, of course, they work in hand with, like, the Mid-Atlantic, or, you know, the Mid-Atlantic Council I'm more familiar with, but
right.
the 3 miles to 200 mile groups, you know, councils that, you know, coordinate management of fish out
sure.
there. So it is very different. And again, you know, it's one of those things, you know, it's almost like a legal matter with these folks. You know, they're in, you know, constant discussions, you know,
sure.
you know, and like everybody else that uses a resource, everybody wants more.
Yep.
So that's going to be the you know, that's the way it is.
And well, anything, if you're in business, anything that affects your bottom line,
right,
you know, that's
right.
that's
and,
exactly
you know,
what it is.
People that, you know, they believe that, you know, they should get more, they can get more. You know, we're finding out that, well, okay, you know, thankfully it's not as in bad a condition, you know, the menhaden stock as people thought it was.
Right.
Just like with striped bass, you know, you know, it's recovered. It's way better than it was in during the, you know, right after the moratorium.
Sure, sure.
And then in 96 when it was, you know, deemed recovered,
yep.
the situation we have now with striped bass is it's still in a better position than it was then.
Yep.
You know, when you know, we were having parties in 1996, yay, you know, striped bass is recovered, and we're above that level right now. So, you know, things have... again, it hasn't been easy.
No, it's been
the effort.
Yeah, it's been the. I mean, you know,
done over the years to get striped bass where it is right now.
Well, you have to err on the side of conservation of these fish. So
yeah.
So it's very, very cautious, very, very conservative.
Someone say we're trying to put them out of business. It's, you know, we're
sure.
trying to keep people in business.
Exactly.
We really are. I mean,
got
we're,
it.
You know, keep the, you know, maintain the stability and the sustainability of you know, the resources. You know, striped bass, menhaden, you know, whatever.
Okay.
You know, whatever the,
Harry, we got a caller on the 800 line. I think you'll recognize this fella. It's Uncle Dale. Good morning, Dale. How are you, buddy?
Alan, how are you?
I'm well.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Dale, how are you?
All right. I hope your son and daughter are not too close to out of harm's way for now.
Well, not right now, thank you. And thanks for putting a perk on. Yeah, they're both doing well. Both
okay,
doing
good,
well,
good. Harry, two questions. One, do you happen to recall on last year's trophy creel what the ratio post-spawn to pre-spawn fish that ended up being caught?
The last year, we had 87% of the fish harvested were post-spawn, like
okay.
throughout the whole course of the season. Now, in the very beginning of the season, of course, we had, you know, our biologists were seeing some fish that, you know, again, the very first week they hadn't spawned, you know, they're big fish. But as that, you know, as the season goes on, that number really drops. The average is about 60% now, like over the course of,
right.
you know, the past... You know, the past, you know, all years combined, it's about 60%. But last year it was, you know, 87% were post-spawn. You know, they had spawned. So
wow.
That's, you know, I know people are concerned that, you know, that some anglers were taking fish that had, you know, hadn't spawned yet. But again, it's a small part of the fishery. You know, that's 13% of the fishery, and then this whole fishery is still a small, you know, 1-2% of like the coastwide.
Oh yeah, coastwide. It's almost
right.
Minuscule. You
know, again, numbers. It's, you know. You know, Maryland people would like more fish, but that, you know, that's what we're, you know, that's what we're catching. It's a short
yeah.
season. The fish
yeah.
are only here a short period of time, but
yeah.
you know, at least
Harry, my second question kind of digress a little bit. What's best seen in the Upper Bay and Eric in the Potomac with respect to other species? And you know where I'm headed with shad. Are they seeing anything bycatch wise
in both areas? They're also encountering menhaden in the Potomac and in the Upper Bay, which Upper Bay is not is unusual, but the Potomac, I mean, this is kind of early for them on the Potomac for menhaden.
What about shad? Any signs?
For shad, they're getting some numbers. Shad has been doing pretty well, actually, on the Potomac.
Right.
You know, I can't say the numbers. I can't say whether it's up or down, but the last couple of years, it's been getting better. I mean, that's one of the you know,
right.
one of the surveys we look for, as you well know. Something of interest on the Upper Bay is the numbers of blue cats that we're seeing up there this season.
Yeah.
And I think you remember, you know, on the Potomac, you know, that, you know, we've seen an explosion over there, you know, those numbers just going up and up. And every place else, you know, they were incidental. Well, this year they're not incidental in the Upper Bay. I mean, we're catching hundreds of, like, you know, 12 to 15 inch blue cats in the upper Bay area.
Oh,
and they
man.
Can be a significant predator for kloops too.
Yeah. Yep.
Very significant.
That's what, yeah, yeah.
All right.
So, you know, I thought you'd be interested in that tidbit also.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
like I said, that in the Upper Bay, you know, we're seeing those the blue, you know, the blue cats are coming.
Okay.
Harry, keep your head down.
Thanks, Dale.
All right.
See
talk
you. Yep. See you, buddy. Yep. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Yep. Let's see. We want to talk to Gary in Severn. But, Gary, if you could indulge us just a little bit more, I need to take a short break here, and we'll be right back after these messages. All right. Time for me to... Okay. I'll wait for you. Go ahead. We're trying to get Dale off the line. Clear line 8. Thank you. Now it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. Hey, don't forget, they do carry the great Browning firearms for any type of shotgun sports, for rifle hunting. You know, there's the X-Bolt, the new X-Bolt. They've got the any kind of semi-automatic shotgun, you know, auto-loader that you need for waterfowl. The BPS is a great turkey gun if you need one of those, if you're looking for a new turkey gun. Clyde Sports Shop is your full-line Browning dealer. Don't forget, time to get your, you know, your scopes remounted. If you you know, if you need something, you upgrade a little bit for a new scope. They've got the great Leopold and the Nikon scopes. If you need your gun cleaned from after the last season, need the O-rings put back in or something, you know, you need it all stripped down. They do all the services for your firearms too. Now's the time of year to do that, not the week before hunting season. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. And the fishing hotline is 247-347-4 or 247-FISH if you want 24-hour information on where the fish are biting today. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number 1, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast from 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but has some of the most delicious fresh-baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the Eastern Shore. Now, I don't go through the fast food or the chain store drive-thru when I'm on Route 50 heading to the marsh or going fishing. Oh, no, I'm patient, but my mouth and my belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or two and a fresh cup of Rise Up coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery, and from 11 till 2, you can grab a tasty lunch, too. Dave and Gina Levy, your host, are trained chefs and strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think Big Donut. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery, and be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see me there. Attention gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland redneck blinds dealer. Check the redneck blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
All right, let's talk to Gary, and Severn has a question for Harry Hornick.
Okay.
Go ahead, Gary, you're up. Hello, Gary. Come on back. I hear his radio.
Give me a few. He's got one on the line there. Okay. He's fishing, maybe.
Gary, you're up. Go ahead. Gary, we're going to have to leave you, buddy. Sorry. I'm sorry. We asked you to wait. Apparently, can call back if you like. It was a long wait. I know that. I get that. So, anyway, Harry. While we've got this little bit of time, Dale asked you a couple of pertinent questions. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
The juvenile survey, you know, they've been up and down and up and down, and, you know, you can track them all on the website. In general, are we having good spawns?
Well, we're having good spawn, and I assume we will, but the bigger question will be is whether those fish survive.
Correct.
And that's the, you know, you can have all the fish spawning on the spawning grounds, you know, in the population, but if, say, you know, you don't have the proper flows, you know, during the peaks, or rather, you know, before the peak spawn, I mean, you can have, you know, like I'm trying to think what year it was. Well, just last year in 2016, we had a relatively low juvenile survey index, you know, the number, the average number of fish caught per sample. It was a 2.2. You know, the average is 11, you know, 11.7.
Right.
And yet in 2015, we had, you know, a 24.2. And again, this is like the average number of fish, juvenile fish taken per sample.
Right.
And what you have with striped bass is, in like a lot of other anadromous fish, which, you know, is fish that come into, you know, into the bay to spawn, that are into freshwater to spawn, tidal area.
Right.
Is that, you know, a cold winter, a wet spring, you know, that kind of a weather pattern, you know, over the long term, it favors striped bass. I mean,
right.
It favors, you know, American shad, white perch, the other, you know, blueback herring, you know, those are the kind of weather situations that favor those fish. And again, if you have, you could even have those, you know, favorable weather situations. And if, say, we have a cold snap and the water temperature drops, you know, below, you know, it's like, I think it's 54 degrees.
Right.
Any larvae that are out there, that's a death.
Sure.
It kills them. It shocks them.
Sure.
So your larval survival goes way down.
Sure.
And, you know, thankfully, I mean, you know, usually good, you know, poor years are interspersed between good years. You know, right now the trophy season, you know, you're looking at a, you know, the ages of fish that are taken in trophy season, like last year, and then, and, you know, and it's going to be this year. You know, they're between ages 8 and 14. You know, 8 years old to 14 years old.
Sure.
Fish. When those fish respond, there were three really good year classes. There were three really good, you know, spring survivals for those year classes. So, you know, we're benefiting from, you know, the large number of fish that, you know, that were born during those periods.
Sure.
But again, it comes down to, you know, Mother Nature and, you know, what is happening, you know, also, you know, when we talked about, you know, the flow, the wet spring, you know, the flow from, you know, coming down to Susquehanna.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on up in, you know, Pennsylvania, New York. I mean,
sure. Your turbidity and everything else is, yeah.
Temperature and salinity, those affect the larval survival, egg and larval survival.
Sure. What about turbidity?
Now, turbidity is also something that, you know, usually you'll get that with higher flows.
And sure.
With high turbidity, you might also get, you know, a change in the acidity, you know, the pH. That can be, you know, death for the, you know, for the larvae. You know, again, when these guys hatch out, you know, they're 3 millimeters, you know, they're less than half an inch.
Yep.
And they start feeding at, say, around 5 millimeters. And if, you know, if you're at home and you look at, you know, how big 5 millimeters is, you know, you're thinking, good Lord, how small must the food be?
Sure.
So in all those things, you know, the food, you know, the copepods, the young copepods, you know, they're all affected by, you know, high flows, turbidity, you know.
So it's not just the fish.
Feeding, you know, these are all things that again, determine larval survival, determine recruitment, which determines the, you know, the juvenile survey, you know, the juvenile index, the JI.
Do you,
you know, that's what, you know, that's what sets that number. There's just, you know, there's a high amount of mortality normally in these early life stages.
Sure.
You know, for all fish.
Sure.
And you can have, again, have the highest numbers of females spawning and males being there to fertilize. But if the weather conditions aren't right, that's,
now,
you know, it's kind of a moot point.
Yeah, you mentioned the higher levels of blue cats being seen in the upper bay. Do you see this as a future trouble spot for the striped bass population?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, we still have, you know, we have a lot of striped bass on the Potomac.
Yeah.
And we've had, you know, explosions of blue cats over there.
Sure.
But they certainly do eat. I mean, those catfish eat a lot of other things. I mean,
yeah, they eat white perch, they eat mud shad, they eat, you know, whatever.
That, you know,
yeah.
The catfish are very opportunistic. They will eat anything that
is slower than they are.
Yep. And it's hard to say. I mean, that's why we do these studies. That's why we, you know, why we monitor, you know, it's, you know, you can't just take for granted that, well, the population's in good shape. We don't have to study it anymore. You know, it's a matter of, you know, maintaining the research, maintaining, you know, looking
sure.
at abundance and
well,
distribution.
And yeah, to relate to that, I mean, we, you know, we've had Joe Love on here who's talking about a different type of fish entirely, largemouth
right,
bass
right.
on the Potomac. And, you know, where that was, you know, its high point back in the 90s, and here it is, you know, where are they now? You know,
yeah.
that type
yeah.
of thing. So
yeah.
you got to constantly monitor these fish and see what affects them, whether it's, you know, human interaction, whether it's another species, whether it's pollution, whether it's environmental factors or whatever. You know, it's just...
Everything has an impact. I mean, everything
has an impact.
That's what, you know, that's
sure.
what we try to determine. You know, that's why, you know, when we're monitoring striped bass, we're also monitoring, you know, as I said earlier, we're, the folks that are out there are monitoring the blue cats and everything
sure.
else that comes into the nets. You know, that's what Dale was able to ask about American shad.
Sure.
Those that, you know, we provide information to you know, the studies that he was conducting when he was with the department.
And with all that,
so,
we
yeah.
still have one of the greatest fisheries in the world here in Maryland.
We do. We're very lucky. You know, the kind of opportunities that Maryland has from, you know, from Ocean City all the way up to, you know, the freshwater fishing, it's kind of amazing what, you know, what different opportunities you have and, you know, the range and fish that you can encounter, you know, whether it's catch and release or, you know, catch and keep.
Sure.
You know, Marylanders are, you know, someone may not believe that, but, you know, I think we're pretty lucky to be able to, you know, to have so many opportunities.
We do.
And especially right now with this trophy season. This is, you know, it's great. It's really neat to watch someone that's never caught one of those fish, or even people have never seen one.
Yep.
That when they see one of these, you know, a 48-inch fish or a 40-inch fish, and, you know, even if you're not the one reeling it in, it's like, wow, you know, people enjoy seeing that, and it's neat to see, you know, somebody's eyes when
sure.
they experience that.
I reserve the use of the word awesome. Very limited in my vocabulary. I mean, I don't think a hamburger is awesome, but I think that anything created by God's hands, and especially something huge created by God's hands, like a big old trophy striped bass, when that thing comes up to the surface, that to me is awesome.
It is.
So,
it's exciting. It's
yep.
definitely exciting.
Exactly. Yep. Hang on there. We're going to take our final break, and we'll be back with some closing remarks. We'll be right back. Gun owners, your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is celebrated at the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. It's where I shoot. Since 1944, the AGC on Marriottsville Road has brought shooters together in a safe and friendly environment to enjoy the various shooting sports and to help them become better shooters. Why not see what the AGC has to offer and then sign up? Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members? Mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit associatedgunclubs.org. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse
near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, we're back. We got a few minutes left here. And Harry, any final points you'd like to make here in the next couple of minutes?
You would ask what APIS meant.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's review that again.
It stands for Access Point Angler Intercept Survey.
Woo!
I just want to let people know that, again, when someone says, oh, they're from APIS, that's a state. It's a state survey that
right.
It's really coordinated and supported by the feds. You know,
kind of like MOAB stands
right.
for Military Ordnance, whatever. Or Mother of All Bombs.
Hey, I'm glad they're using it. My son and daughter are in the Army, and I'm like, I'm all for taking the safest way to do your job.
I had lunch yesterday with a friend of mine, and his son was along. He's a medic, and he is. He's headed back to Iraq in September.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So, yep.
Well, good luck to him.
Yep, and with your children as well.
Yep, thank you.
All right, buddy. So, tell me about APIS.
Well, APIS, again, it's Access Point the Angler Intercept Survey. It's conducted throughout the tidal waters of the bay, you know, by the state, by fisheries and boating services people. And it is collecting recreational information on all recreational fish. There's quite an effort down in Ocean City. You know, they go out on the headboats, they go out on charter boats in Ocean City and in Maryland. And again, they're looking at catch rates, catch information, length and weight for all the species, not just striped bass.
Right.
They do collect a lot of information for striped bass, but it's targeting all recreational species.
So if somebody asks you, they're not asking you to write you a ticket. They're just trying to get some information to better manage the species.
It's biological information. It's management.
Yep.
It's information that's used in management. More importantly, all this stuff gets put. You know, it's put together by NOAA, by National Marine Fisheries Service. Those folks, and it's used, for the coastwide management.
Gotcha.
Strategy for all species.
Beautiful. Harry, thanks for joining us today. There's the music. We got to get out of here very shortly, but I hope you get a chance to get out on the water and enjoy our great fishing opportunities here as well. So thanks for being with us. I guess he's still there. He's still there, Harry?
Oh, yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But
hey, look.
I hope I've been able to give your listeners what information they're